signs of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gami Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient. Anicca. All formations are subject to suffering. Dukkha. All things are without a self. Anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical life. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the dangers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassion and comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassion and aspiration that harms no one, by compassion and speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day. Oh, happy, blessed place. Oh, happy, blessed time. Oh, happy, blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi tatyampi sabha. Again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, or even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day. There must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here to end suffering. Ending suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. Shall we look at this morning? So go ahead.
Well, I was doing the homework for the year-long retreat last time. And now, if I remember it correctly, it was what do you do to be good to another person?
Uh-huh.
What do you do to take care of someone else? So, I was writing about that, and this is thanks to practice. I could see, you know, all in the past what I thought was taking care of someone and being good to someone has shifted.
Yes, practice provides that awareness.
Provides that awareness
of how we transformed that shift.
Exactly, and I saw that really. How I'm good to another person is to be completely present to them, and to be to not be focused on me, you know, to just have that complete presence with that other person.
Yeah.
And
that is a practice, isn't it?
Wow.
That movement from, I mean, that's just where we are. Right? Mm-hmm. It's about me, and then that practice of. Being completely present.
Completely.
And knowing that's the best thing.
Yes.
For everybody, including.
For everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so which took me to how I practiced that. And I saw that there's so many instances of, you know, well, it doesn't really matter because it's just me, you know, when I'm not paying attention. You know, those little glitches when I catch myself like getting distracted or something.
When you're listening to the other person?
No. No. This is just...
Just with you.
Just with this human, you know.
Yeah.
And then I saw how could I ever expect to be completely present to another and be good to them if I am not having that practice, moment by moment, with this human being.
Yeah, yeah. So when there's kind of those glitches here, uh-huh, of not being attentive to this person or what's, uh-huh, going on around, it's just us, it can kind of just get passed on over, or it's not that big of a deal, or that kind of thing.
Well, so many things, yeah, they get, you know, they just get hit, gets like, well, that's not, you know, it's just me.
It's just me.
You know?
Yeah.
And when I get with somebody else, I'm going to be really quite present.
I'm practicing this over here,
right,
passing over the glitches, but over, yeah, here, I'm going to be completely present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And kind of curious about, why is it so difficult when I'm with another person to be so present? You know, what is going on? And then seeing, oh, you know, I can't just, you know,
yeah,
you know, what you practice is what you have.
That's what's going on for me too, yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Right.
Right.
So then you are with the person, kind of realizing, I'm not completely with this person. Well, gosh, what the heck's going on?
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, you just come back to here, and you see, well, gosh, if here, when no one else is around, it's kind of being said, maybe it's not so important, it's just me, and I'm not necessarily practicing completely being here,
mm-hmm,
then why would I expect myself to be completely here when I'm with another person?
Yeah.
Even if I really, really want to.
Really, really want to.
Yeah.
You know, just really, like, gosh, you know, yeah, I'm going to really be with this person,
yeah,
unconditionally,
yeah,
and I'm going to be just completely present, and
yeah,
then it's like,
huh,
you know, I'm doing the same thing I do when I'm just kind of noodling around,
yeah,
you know?
Well, I mean, you did it. What you practice is what you have.
Yeah.
So if that's what we really want, to be present with another person, and to be completely there, then of course that's what we need to practice, as you said, moment by moment,
mm-hmm,
when no one's around.
Yes. And so, just appreciate looking at this more. And so,
yeah,
like, in support of that, you know, I just started, I just started naming everything I'm doing, you know,
yeah,
to just like, okay, I'm picking up the da-da-da-da, you know, because it's just so often it just, you know, slips into, well, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we all do.
Right. Right. And then just seeing how quickly it just became into, well, I'm going to go and do da 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 da. You know, it just was so, how it just so quickly just,
uh-huh,
you know, and I'm naming things, and then suddenly I'm like naming future activities.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Oh, and that's so good to see,
isn't, yeah,
it? Gosh, there's so much, like, so, well, first of all, the whole process, right? Like, just to see what I want to give to someone is presence. I mean, that's just such a clear place from presence. And then going, gosh, it seems like that's not always the case. And then following it back and having a huge insight. Well, if I'm not practicing it here with me when no one's around, why would I expect? So how can I help myself? Well, I'm going to practice presence moment by moment. And one way to do that is just to name things,
mm-hmm,
as I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're doing that in here, you become aware of how it pulls you off.
Yeah.
There is a movement off. It starts to talk about future things,
mm-hmm,
something that's not now.
Mm-hmm. And even the naming of things. You know, it's,
uh-huh,
yeah, that's pretty, uh-huh, interesting too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what's that about too, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that just feels like a little pull away from presence too.
Uh-huh.
To just like, you know, now I'm, I'm doing things, you know, I'm lifting a cup, I'm da-da-da-da, but it's still, I don't know if that's what I saw about it, is that it's,
yeah,
still a little bit, just that one step away from just being completely present.
Uh-huh. So there's a practice of naming the things to assist,
uh-huh,
you to be here,
yeah,
and keep the attention here.
Yeah.
And as you're doing that, another thing you notice is something about naming the things almost feels like a pull away from being here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's just what I'm looking at this morning. And any,
it's just what I'm looking at, just a small thing. So isn't that amazing, all the stuff you get to see,
uh-huh,
just by, well, I'm going to make the commitment to practice being here.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It just was like, you know, gosh darn it. I, you know, I'm renewing my commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it, you know, it's the sword master again. You know, it's the,
mm-hmm,
you know, what is it? You know, there's the sword that's going to, like, impale you if you lose your attention for a moment. And then it so quickly just slides into, well, I'm sure I won't get impaled if I just lose my attention this for this moment, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I am. I am, you know?
Yeah, really seeing the magnitude of it.
Yeah.
You could talk about it as kind of the life or death nature. Mm-hmm. In that identification, it could feel like, well, I mean, I'm sure it's fine if I lose mm-hmm. my attention.
Mm-hmm.
In this moment, even though there's a sword about to.
Right.
Yeah. And renewing that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you said going to, but it sounds like you already have. And then the practice was the backing up that commitment that you're
mm-hmm.
describing this morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'd appreciate just hearing what anybody else has to say.
Opening it up to you.
Just opening it up.
Yeah. Thank you. Sherry?
Well, I have one that I think kind of ties in.
Uh-huh.
So I too am pondering and imponderable. I think I told folks a while back I had this thing drop in about a prayer,
mm-hmm.
essentially. And it is, may all beings feel the love that makes us want to love.
Mm-hmm. May all beings feel the love that makes us want to love.
Because what I've been looking at, as I've been looking at that, is for people. There are people who realize there's a lot going on in the world that you folks are not actually dialed into at this point, but there are people in the world who don't seem to realize that nobody wants their children
mm-hmm.
taken away from them and put in cages.
Mm-hmm.
That people with different colored skins and different religions and different languages feel just like we do. There are people for whom that is very clear. It's very clear. In fact, it's so clear that it's almost incomprehensible that somebody doesn't have that experience. And yet they don't. And this is my imponderable exploration. They couldn't be having the experience. Because if they were having the experience of everybody feels the same about their children, everybody wants to live, everybody wants to be happy, everybody, if they were having that experience, they couldn't make the choices that they're making. It just, to me, it just wouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
And so I can only conclude, again, that they are not having that experience. And so why are we, I'm going to include all of us in the group for whom those things are clear and obvious. Why?
Uh-huh.
Why is that the case? What is it that has caused us to care about people and the environment and all of those things that we care about? You know, why do we see the importance of recycling? why do we not want the ocean filled with plastic? And when I look at it for myself, I know there was never a conscious choice.
Uh-huh.
There was never a conscious choice to care.
Uh-huh.
It was just there.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the place where I get with Sequoia about it. That to have an orientation, to want a particular orientation because we already have it, because it's already our experience. It's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Did you follow me on that? Okay.
Yeah. Saying that back to the, it wasn't a conscious choice. It was,
yes.
It was the orientation.
It's just there.
It's just
how it is. So it's not possible from there to be judgmental.
about people who don't have that experience.
Well, that's kind of big, right? Because we're in that experience of caring, the incomprehensibleness of separating children from mothers. But to get that, it's not like I'm a good person for that, or I really made that was a from your experience.
Yeah, it was a decision on my part.
Right. It was just the orientation that you're in. So to make a judgment that somebody else maybe is just in the orientation that they're in, that some sort of comparison or some sort of put down doesn't really make sense.
Right. And so when I look at where does that come from? Where does caring come from?
Yeah.
Well, it comes from a feeling, from an experience. You know, from looking at a flower and not wanting to step on it.
And being aware of that experience.
Being aware of it, because how one feels in looking at that flower absolutely requires, and not even that, it's just not possible once we are in relationship. In a caring relationship with something, it's just not possible to want to do it harm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that takes me to that prayer, which seems like it's all that's left. You know, may we all not only feel that. Mm-hmm. So again, I go back with the previous conversation. You know, to live in the experience that causes us to want to live in the experience.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Rather than having an experience and then not realizing that's the origin, the genesis of the the desire to live in that experience. I mean, uh-huh. It does get kind of twisted at that point. Uh-huh. But to recognize what it is, and then to hope, to wish that all beings would have that experience, simply to have that experience. Not, yes, it would lead to not wanting to harm other people, to wanting to protect the environment. It would lead to that. But that's not the point. The point is to have that experience, to know authenticity, to recognize divinity too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm struck by that. That wish seems to be an example of that process. That place of having the experience of love that's causing us to love.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to write an article about it. And I've been looking at it and looking at it and looking at it. And I realized that I had no way of doing that. So I wanted to talk about it. And I was hoping that other people would talk about it. And again, I think it's such a parallel to the previous conversation that maybe other people will write the article for me. It would be a great kindness.
The life and these nodes of intelligence will all
yes.
Go together.
Yes.
Perfect.
That's right.
So shall we open it up then?
Yes, please. And one thing before we do, I don't know if it seems arrogant to have such a wish. Or condescending, or to assume an orientation for someone else based on a projection,
right?
A projected conclusion.
So one way to check that out maybe is to hear from a bunch of other people.
I'm hoping so.
Okay. Yeah. Great, yeah. Jen.
Such an amazing topic,
yeah.
And so synchronistic for me. I just have to put recording and listening right at the top of the whole thing.
Putting like a big billboard up here.
What's extraordinary is that just last night, I often listen on shuffle, as I've talked about many, many times, through thousands and thousands of recordings over many, many years. Mm-hmm. And a recording that came up last night was... it must have been like a strategic planning sort of a setting, and it's just so amazing. And the guide was speaking in that recording and saying, you know, I was walking down to come here this morning, and I was looking at the trees, and I was saying, God, I wonder if those trees are as happy as I am. And is it right for a human to be this happy? And then what she's saying to everyone in the room is, we're talking about training and why things are pointed out and how they're pointed out and all that. And she said, "And that's what I want for all of you." Mm-hmm. And I am positive I did not take it in that moment in the way that I took it in when I heard it last night. Uh-huh. Just the extraordinary care in that. And I was so struck by the compassion of, wow. And here was the thing. And you can't have that if you're doing anything else. Uh-huh. You can't have that level of well-being and presence and freedom, really, if you're doing anything else. And so, mm-hmm. again, with recording and listening, just, it's one of those places where all of these connections start to get made. And I had made a recording, I don't know, a week or so ago, where it was a very, at the same time, lighthearted and at the same time very profound kind of the things that I was seeing. And I was sort of laughing and saying, I don't mean this in a self-hating way, but, you know, sometimes people will talk about there's two kinds of people in the world. There's takers and givers. And you can tell when you walk in the room right away, you know, kind of who's who. And I was laughing, saying, I feel like one of the things that brought me to practice is I realized that I was a taker. Mm-hmm. But that on a fundamental level, not at all. That what, again, what I feel like I was given, just like was talked about in that last conversation, not anything I ever decided, but from such a young age, I can remember having that orientation of care. And it feels like, so in that recording, what I was saying is, you know, I got it that I was a taker, but not because I want to be, but because there's such an environment of, I can say, hatred and torture, that what comes out of that is me.
Yeah. A survival place.
A survival place. Exactly.
In a taking orientation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, again, who knows, but as I go around in my own experience and project onto other people, the only thing I can conclude, and again, I have no idea, is that in my experience, as soon as those clouds of hatred and being in torture, and even the smallest bit, when that parts, and I'm blessed to live there so much of the time now, what's there is care.
Yeah.
Just what's just naturally there. Mm-hmm. You know, not trying, not...
Like, you stop doing everything else.
Yeah, that's what arises.
That's what's there, is the care. Mm-hmm. And you can see that process from going back to when you were really young and just experiencing that. Mm-hmm. That's actually what's there. Mm-hmm. And until we get, and I think you're describing that conditioned process that kind of gets us into a taker's place. But knowing that's not actually what we are.
Yeah.
And getting that place of that appreciation of the training.
Yes.
You know, like you said, getting like, gosh, here's someone who is a false, is that tree as happy as I can end up? Wow. And to see that, I think you said, if I'm doing anything else, it's not available.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to, I think, was the quote I was pointing out, is that real clarity. I'm either here or I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm either in well being or I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And just that the commitment and motivation that inspires.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The motivation and that realization, that clarity about what's at stake, I think, is that you're pointing at.
Yeah.
It really draws, I think, as we heard from Sequoia as well, it's like, gosh, well then I want to be here. Yeah. Not even like I should or any of those kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, and in that, again, also, you're right, in that first conversation, just the experience I've been having in many recordings over the last few days, at the end of the day, just recording, wow, that experience of care actually is what I was talking about, and it's this, and this person doesn't get left out of it. You know, it's care of like, oh, you know, sweeping this thing, and oh, you know, that, putting those things away, and oh, before I leave the building, cutting, And then getting home, and there's still plenty of space and energy and time to, you know, care for this person and tidy this. And again, it feels like when there's that much, when this person is that well cared for, it just becomes care. It just, I don't know how to say that.
There's no room left over for anything else.
Yeah, and it's not like, well, no, I need to care for all this. And then it's not fair. Why do I have to care for all this? And then I have to care,
right.
You know, it's
which actually would be caring, would it?
Yeah, exactly.
I think we can all, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just, I've just been really receiving, receiving the life. And
receiving the life. And training in that.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great description of being on the recorder and recording about there's the attention, all the attention's on care.
Yeah.
And Jen's not left out of that.
Yeah.
You know, there's the sweeping and the caring for this, and then I get home, there's all this space to care for Jen. And there isn't a place of lack or deprivation or
exactly. Yeah, just one, as you said, that one other quick example, I was recording last night and I was just, wow, this is the life that I could almost say life has chosen for me. But ironically, in seeing that, it's like I'm now participating in that choice in a sense, even though it feels like,
right.
Even though it feels like there's a way in which life is choosing this life for me, and I get to say yes and receive it. But it's not a victim kind of, well, this is what life is choosing for me.
Right.
And that's what I was seeing. It's like, and you know, so this is it. Like I don't have a primary, you know, an intimate primary relationship. And as I was saying that in the recording, I was like, and what I said was, in this life. And then I said, well, actually, I have in this life. And what bubbled out of that was just recording a number of instances of just receiving, having had that experience. And what I saw in it was, I started to say I felt profoundly loved. And what I said was, it was a profound experience of love. And somehow in that, what I received was, wow, it truly doesn't matter what the content is. It's the process of what I am receiving. And when I'm receiving this life that life has given to me, that's what I thought of when you said there isn't the lack and loss and deprivation. There's just a receiving of, wow, the abundance of this.
Just really receiving the abundance of this in that place. I think Sherry is pointing it too is, this is the life that life chose for me.
Yeah.
You know, that we didn't make this like conscious decision or word of But it seems like there's an experience of being able to participate in a life that's been chosen for us with a yes. Mm-hmm. And again, you can hear that participation in that recording and listening exercise.
Yeah.
And then there's that movement to talking about love and care and all that, hearing yourself say, I don't have an intimate partner in this life. And then that kind of flags something. Well, wait a second. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you go back to add the content into the process of, well, there's a lot of intimacy, I project, in what you're saying here.
Yeah.
And that's bubbling up. Mm-hmm. That's actually what's here.
Yeah.
That process is what's here.
Yeah. And then receiving that, I have an orientation of, you know, my grandfather used to always say, my cup runs over. Instead of that, lack deprivation from which I have to be as someone who's going to try to get something, who's going to,
That's an important piece, right? To actually receive all that care.
Yeah.
We're like, whoa, you know, that experience of the cup overfloweth.
Yeah.
And that is that guides our orientation to the world.
Yeah.
Chris?
So, a couple of things dropping in for me. One was, just with that notion of caring, how I can look back at kind of the transformation via spiritual practice, and every time that I really had an experience of something was pointed out, or just whatever experience provided that sense that I could care for something that I wasn't caring for, that I wanted to do it.
Well, that seems kind of huge, right? So here's that training where we were talking about before about things, you know, the guide or the practice pointing things out where maybe you could be more caring in the place that you were, where it brought you to was caring. But that,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, it's just something that just kind of wells up. It's like, well, yeah, I want to do that.
You want to do that.
And then in hearing the prayer that Sherry suggested, there's, for me, there was some relief in it because there's such a strong tendency to go to conditioned mind when all of that, for me, when that, in those kind of instances, what's going on in the world and all on. And that seemed to provide a place for the attention to go that accesses that place of that place of, you know, I want to care for life in that way. And so that and that feels like a real relief. And then looking at how let's see, so I notice that I tend to project that everyone else in the world is coming from the same level of awareness that I am, wherever that is. Right?
Yeah.
And so, and I'm always, it's always interesting to see when I get reminders that that's not true, you know, which is frequent, right, in both directions. And then how, let's see, I just lost that train. The sense that I would have of it would be that wherever, well, I don't know, that people are going to be receiving that, if they hear that prayer or something like that, they'll receive it through the filters, right? Whatever filters they're going, they'll receive it. And so that wherever place they're at, the chances are, if they're looking to conditioned mind, it's going to be taken as advice, or you know better than I do, or something like that. And then, on, again, coming back to my part in that, it seems like I can also feel this thread whereby conditioning can take over that prayer and kind of move it, like the motivation for it, into a judgmental place. Like, this is what you need, and then with that came a sense of it's like gratitude. You know, just keep practicing until you hit the sweet spot. And that seems like that's part of the point.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what Sherry is asking us to check out. I think you just described what could happen with that process of doing that. And then the projection is, if that hits, you know, someone's conditioned mind, they may think, you know, this or that, or maybe on my side it comes into a judgment, you know, that, oh gosh, well, I'm doing this prayer and they should, and or they should be like me, or however that works.
Yeah.
And to, it almost sounds like, again, from that place, and yet I think you use the word gratitude, just to keep practicing until we hit the sweet spot.
Yeah,
because that is what we're always doing. I mean, in a way, it's a calibration. I think maybe that's what you described at the first point.
Yeah.
Of, now I just lost it. but that place of calibration.
Yeah, exactly. I think there was one other thing dropped in, which was that expression, think globally, act locally. I mean, for me, it just describes spiritual practice to a T, right? There is that larger perspective, and yet, you know, my arms are just this long.
Uh-huh.
And that I'm informed by that bigger perspective, but I'm acting out of the sphere of influence that I'm in some sense.
Uh-huh.
And so that, it seems like that prayer helps with that too, that it really does assist with the attitude of mind to be able to not get, how would I say it, but to kind of find that middle path between what I can do locally, and then how that might influence something that could get bigger or something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting how you're talking about the, I think you started off saying it's a relief to have the attention on that prayer. And in the sense that often when we think about the quote larger world, we can often get, the attention can easily go to conditioned mind.
And overwhelm.
Yeah. And what I hear throughout what you're saying is this is what a relief to have a place for the attention to rest on.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that. There's all these things that come up from that. This last one just said that think globally, act globally, and it's that informing you the prayer and seeing.
Gosh, it gives that a boost in that direction.
It gives a boost in that direction,
yeah.
And you're in that place of keeping in that larger awareness, the think globally, and what's possible in my sphere.
Yeah. Perfect.
I was at the retreat, Sherry's birthday, all day long thing, where we did, I tried to even call in on this, so I'm so excited to get to tell you what I saw. So, there was that political thing, Rand, do you remember that? So I had this really moving experience during that thing. So here's my take on the story. You know, it was about an immigrant who had broken some laws, and over the years, I don't really remember the story exactly, and then the people came to take him back. And anyway, what ended up happening to me during the thing was I actually got to know all of the people in the story. So I imagined, you know, because it's all me, it's all my projection. But what I ended up doing was doing that thing of wishing them, all of them, all the characters. So I would go up to the policeman or whatever, Border Patrol,
yeah.
And I'd offer them water. And they'd take their hats off, and I would just talk to them, you know, well, tell me why you're here, and what are you scared of about this guy who's, you know, and they would talk back to me, and I would listen. And it was fascinating because I actually got to know that everybody, every character in that newspaper article had a story that I didn't know or understand. And so I had this really good experience of wishing everybody in the scene well. And in that way of love, though, because when I would give them water or listen, then they weren't defensive. They kind of put down their guns and, you know, drink my water and kind of relax. And then they'd tell me, you know, well, I really didn't want this job. I kind of wanted to be a mom. I don't know if it was real, but what I found was that me moving to that place of real curiosity and not judgment and real compassion just changed my whole attachment to stories, I believe, about everything. And I saw it again earlier when Sequoia was sharing that I did that exercise too, and it's Father's Day today. So, you know, what do you want to do for somebody else or whatever it was? And I'm like, chores. You know, I thought, well, I could put his chores kind of thing. And I watched myself as Sequoia was, I didn't watch myself, I watched ego sort of judge that in the way that it would judge those people, those border patrols, so to speak.
I see.
So, like, chores, really, I mean, what you should be offering today is presents. Right?
Because I'm really helping with that right now.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But in that way that it co-opts everything, you know,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Going to co-opt.
Exactly.
It is going to co-opt people. And I love the soaking in the love because I actually know that place. I went to that place, I think, of not being able to receive the love. I know what it is to be that identified.
Sure.
And if someone approaches me with patience and interest, you know, if I approach myself, so to speak, but if I go to that place of chores, really, I mean, that's lame. That's a lame gift. You know, that is, if there's, you know, the whole system's like, oh yeah, it's probably lame. And, you know, well, I wouldn't want him to do my chores or it was my, but, you know, then it just sets up that whole, like, I don't even know how to, you know, them and me and how could they, and I'm actually not the good guy now, I'm the bad guy. And good guy, bad guy, I'm going to fall on either side if I'm not soaking in the unconditional. You know, if I don't move to that place, I'm going to choose unconditional love. And I'm just going to choose that and say it, even though I don't feel it right now, even though I, you know, that kind of fake it till you make it. And also,
you know that works.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Because after a while, and so I don't know, I do look at the thing of, I was, I don't know why I'm looking at this morning too, but I was looking at that projection thing, because I also pray for people whose political orientation I disagree with, particularly the current president. So I sort of had done this commitment to wish to loving kindness, you know, wishing him all the things that I wish myself. And I was looking at, certainly it's transformed me and my thing, but I was looking at projection, you know, like I, you know, there are, anyway, this morning I was thinking about that kind of, there are Hitlers in the world sort of thing, and how to resolve that when I take it all in and bring love to my whole system,
yeah.
it loosens and it recedes.
Yes.
And then that which doesn't, the devil, of course, it stays sort of outside, seems like, of that circle. I guess that makes sense. But
yeah.
All that.
Well, and in a real practical way, that process of the images that kept coming up when you're saying that was keeping the heart open, keeping that, I think you said, loosen things up so that that love can be received. And when that love is received, then there you are, loving other people. And then there's that process of it trying to kind of close things down, chores, you know, that kind of thing. But what a practical way to do that, which was, you know, you were talking about the story about the immigrant and the interaction with the Border Patrol, and to take on a relationship with each person in the story. And all of a sudden, that experience moves from one of defensiveness or separation or judgment, good, bad, which we know, just for good, we're bad, it just switches back and forth. And all of a sudden, this is a person that you're talking to, and you offer them some water, and they take off their hat, and you get to learn about them.
Yes, and I was looking at, too, as everybody was talking, what I would do with the cages thing. And so I was like, okay, well, I need some, you know, I started when I'm listening, like, my heart opens. Well, okay, I need some toys and some animals for the children. And I need some food for these people who are keeping them in cages. And, you know, and I need some real understanding. Like, what, you know, tell me what you're, you know, first the kids, because I need to make sure they're cared for, and paper and letters so they can write their, you know, I just have this whole, and I began to feel like, I don't know, empowered, or like, okay, there's something I can do. You know, like the plastics or whatever, you know, the what can we do first in here, you know, in here, and then local, you know, local is kind of internal for me, big time, because on either side of that duality, I get in the slippery slope.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll just tell everybody, I'm going down the border with my animals and whatever. Then ego just takes it. There's not that innocence of, oh, I bet those people are thirsty and hungry, and maybe I can get to know them and find out what's motivating their not opening the cages and taking them, you know, whatever, you know. But truly curious about it.
Truly curious.
In the way that it was talked about, like it's so out of the realm of understanding.
Yeah.
But not completely far. I get a sense, not completely far, right? Mm-hmm. If I look inside, there's a cager in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's somebody inside that puts my little kids in cages.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in the name of justice and appropriateness, and you know, I don't know what it is. I'm gonna have to get to know it. Mm-hmm. The right thing to do, and you're not breaking the law. You know, all of that stuff that would pour out of that aspect of the thing.
And just that practice of going to those different places, you know, seeing what it's like. Well, actually, I do know what it's like to be caged or to be the cager. And I also know this experience. I'm trying it on right now. So I'm just imagining bringing things to these, you know, and here's some food, and some food for the people whose job it is to keep them in that.
Mm-hmm.
And just how that place feels. And that's different than telling everybody, okay, I'm going down to the... And just know.
Yeah, because of these idiots who are caging the kids. You know, I mean, it was kind of, because I'm writing now they're wrong, and I'm not curious about anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, it's all in perspective. I like that. So if I'm practicing soaking in love in every single moment with everything in here, it seems possible to not go down the cage of cagers, so to speak. It could be tricky, but I don't know. Such a gift of this practice, I think, to not get stuck in the other side of the duality.
Yeah, such a gift to not be stuck in the other side of the duality, but to be familiar, aware, recognizing that place of just, this is it. This
and
is
you still might be killed, right? I mean, we've got the Jesuses of the world. I mean, you still might get the saints of the world who just did that. Carried their stuff in, said a few things, and poof, they got killed. But because there are the other stuff really out there, some border patrol guy might shoot me. But I don't know.
Do you have a sense? Well, this is my objection. Not that, but there's a sense of, well, if I'm living from that place of soaking in love, following that, then I will be done.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No, no concern.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I heard.
And if I'm wishing it to everybody else. I just love that boat.
Yes.
I want them to be able to soak it in.
Because
I know that when I can't soak it in, I'm on one of those sides of the duality.
Yeah. Wow. Again, just so hopeful to have those practical practices. The prayer that Sherry is offering and the prayer that you're talking about. I want that for them.
Yeah.
I want that for all beings. And that's what keeps us out of that duality. And you know when you flip back into that duality. And then it sounds like then you just bring your attention back. Oh, wait. I'm for this person and for all people.
And I look so forward as I go home today because I did get that little bit stuck about my chore thing. You know, I was stuck in the outside of, you know, love. And so now I can go and just be so, you know, really soaking in love. Oh, that's awesome. You want to do his chores? You know? But it's very different than where I've lived before, which is Father's Day, worst day of the year, got to do all the chores and everything, you know. Just got to survive the day, you know.
Let's hope we can laugh at that.
I've probably been 20 years, but this is my first Father's Day, open-hearted. I really want to do your chores. Of love.
And there's that.
But at least it's only five white texts now. Right. Yes. And really, I can feel it.
You can feel
it. I can feel it.
That place.
Yeah.
I was saying, from when I was little, I know that place.
Yes.
It's just kind of covered up with all these.
It's covered up. So that's what I figured happened to those people.
We can feel that. That's what happened to those people. That just got covered up. Yeah, because we know we didn't make this choice. That there's something inherent here. And so, well, if that's true for me, it must be.
And again, I don't want to flip to this, oh, those poor people, and then not say anything. You know, that's why we have to keep practicing.
Well, again, the whole time we've been talking, you just seeing that.
Yeah.
Oh, into another duality.
Yeah.
And just bringing the attention back,
okay, back to soaking it in.
Yeah.
Living here, doing the chores. And
Okay. Yeah, I just imagine your trip back up there.
Talking
with that.
Well, and imagine it this way. I am going to have to stay completely with the breath, feeling the feet on the ground, because a conversation like this, man, I get outside that gate, chores at that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go take a nap all day, you know, whatever, it'll just get you.
Yeah. Well, and we're inspired by that when we're in that place of love. We don't want to take time off. That's what I was talking about. Like, it requires this moment by moment, and great.
And it feels good.
It feels good. Yeah.
So lots of things, very little clarity. You know, this being for me the year of love, and so I listen to opinions I just shake my head, and how can people think that?
Yeah, it's incomprehensible.
Yeah. And it's very difficult to stay open-hearted there. And then, look, if early childhood conditioning has anything to do with where one is on the current political spectrum, I should be on the opposite end. Really should. And I never was.
Uh-huh.
And so that's, that triggers all the thoughts about, well, you know, do we come in with it? Mm-hmm. Is it a karmic stream? And just, you know, just lots of talky-talky in the head and trying to figure it out and, you know, and so, like that. And so I just look at my projections, as other people are saying. And always I have projected fear and greed and deprivation on the other side. And so trying to bring that back. And the only one that I can really get to is that I can own, in some sense, is fear that they're going to win. Uh-huh. And that my country won't have a place. We will have no power.
The fear of not having any power. No woman in your voice won't be heard.
So, not much clarity, just a lot of looking at.
Yeah.
At how this is set up. The duality slide occurs to me.
On the duality slide.
Yeah. But I don't know much of anything about any of this.
Sometimes that's a good place to be. Yeah, so just not, you know, maybe it's not all put together, but just, yeah, but it's, there's a curiosity and a looking and a noticing.
Yeah.
And seeing, gosh, well, you know, in terms of political spectrum, if it had to do with childhood conditioning, I would seem to be way over on the other side. So what is this? Where did this orientation come from? How does this happen? Is it a karmic stream, or, you know, and then, you know, how do I look at other people and then hearing those projections and just, well, let me follow those back and see where those might live here.
Yeah.
And then something about dualities kind of playing into that place, and it's trying to noodle and you drop it and you come back here.
Yeah, and the other thing that occurs to me often, fortunately, I think, is the guide saying so many times that looking at someone and seeing their innocence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody comes to the monastery and does something unfortunate. And there's no beating them up, there's no blaming them, and you know, there's no making them pay or atone. None of that ever happens.
Yeah, it's, right.
Where you see their authenticity, their true nature. Mm-hmm. That's what you see when you look at someone. Mm-hmm. And that's what the guides.
Well, which is interesting, if we go back to your idea of protection, where would we have to go to see that innocence in someone else, in that authenticity? That kind of sounds like what Susan was talking about. You know, going to, well, wait, this is a, well, how about I offer them some, well, I wonder why they're here, and which is what you were describing, that kind of process of curiosity.
Yeah. And I remember in college before I ever heard the word racist, before I had ever heard, until that door kind of opened and I could see what I had grown up in. But I remember going home and saying to a very close relative something about racist. I wasn't pointing the finger, and the person said, what is racist? What do you mean by that? And I said something about, well, a racist is afraid of these other people. And the person hit the roof.
Just going to open that door, huh?
The roof. Afraid? What are you talking about?
And you weren't quite the figure, but that was the reaction that came out of that.
So pointing the finger and trying to convince somebody of something, and trying to make them see how they are, is wildly, wildly unpopular.
Yeah, and we said, oh, that was good, because we've all tried that. Yeah, we continue to try it. I do anyway. Yeah, and it's not so popular on the other side, as you described. Even in a situation where you're not necessarily quite not coming from that place, I guess, you know, people still respond in a way that's not popular.
And I can see if someone walked up to me and started telling me what was going on with me, and the reason I see things the way I do is because you are such and such. Mm-hmm. I'll probably hit the roof too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know that experience as well. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's any figuring out why it is what it is. You know, if there's. It's just practicing being who I want to be.
Just practicing who you want to be.
Who the heart wants to be. And what the heart, what love, being in love instead of in love. And whatever that thing is that puts us on opposite sides.
Practicing being what the heart wants to be, being in that love. And we've been talking about wishing that for, maybe the wishing for others is the part, not telling them, but, yeah.
Yeah, praying.
Praying.
Just praying.
Praying, offering. Cameron, we have 2 minutes.
Okay. What I found particularly touching about the introduction to this subject was how the part about when someone can't see that what's happening by taking children away from their parents, that it's that they haven't experienced that level, that experience of caring. And so, I don't feel like I was a person who came out of the womb, you know, as a particularly caring person. And it seems like a lot of years of practice and looking, I feel so grateful now to really have that experience of the completely different experience where there's just seeing that we're all the same and and so it seems like that's really a really important place to, at least what's happening with me is to see that the caring is in everybody. The ability to have that loving, caring and love is in everybody, and it's in me, and there are times when I'm not being there. I'm not in that place because I'm, you know, and if I do something for some reason or focusing my attention somewhere that isn't open to that or something. And so it just felt like, because it's so easy to go to a place of disbelief or hatred of somebody who cannot, who is doing that, who is ordering, putting that out as something, telling people to do that, go take these kids away from their family when they're already dislocated from everything that they know, you know, their home and everything. It just seems, yeah, it's easy to be separate from that, but to actually look within and see the ways in which that this being can be that way, and how it's you know that's not who we really are.
Yeah, you know that from your own practice.
Yeah.
That place of not caring, and then the practice to be in touch with that care can go on here, so we can project and maybe be reassured that that's true for everybody. But from our experience, I think what you're saying is that you know, you don't remember being caring from the get-go. You know that's what's here. You know that the attention just kind of moves. And so that knowing that process here really assists you when you're looking at other folks. And if, you know, maybe wants to go to a place of separation and judgment.
Yeah. I remember as a child, I was probably 8 or something like that, that age group where I was out in the yard and I had, for some reason, my cousin and I were, we knew there were frogs around, and so we were looking for the frogs. And I caught one and held it in my hands. And about the time that I had the frog, I was called inside to go to lunch. And I didn't want to give up the frog. I wanted to, you know, look at it and maybe make a little pet of it or something. I don't know what was going on with my child mind. But what I did was I said, okay, I'll be right there. And I got a shoebox and I pulled up some grass. I put it on the bottom and I poked holes in the top, you know, so it would be okay while I went to lunch. I made it a little home, I thought. And I put the box on top of a brick wall. And when I came after lunch, the frog was completely stiff. The sun had cooked it. And, I mean, that was the most horrifying thing. I can just, you know, I don't have a lot of memories, but that it was just so amazing that I was trying to be caring and how, in my childish ignorance, I didn't know all the factors that I needed to be aware of to make that frog safe. And so I think of that, you know, sometimes too, that a lot of times people are trying to be caring not so skillful at it.
Yeah, I feel like they truly think they are doing the right thing, and that it is caring for everyone. But maybe just not having that bigger picture or seeing the consequences that can happen from what they're doing.
Yeah.
And again, just using that place of your own experience to connect to other folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's really a big place to look.
It's a big place to look.
And, you know, when you look at somebody and you realize that they're doing what they're doing because they don't have the perspective, that maybe they just don't have that experience of caring, instead of judging, it makes you feel like it's important for you to at least be someone, if you can see that, who would offer some caring in some kind of way.
Uh-huh.
To help that person possibly have an experience, even a little one, you know, sometimes just a smile to someone who looks unhappy, it makes a difference.
Yeah, seeing that place that, I mean, we're all goodness. It's just that maybe they're not in touch with that care, don't have that care. Yeah. And from that place of knowing that for ourselves, gosh, we just, I mean, anything. Maybe we can just smile. Mm-hmm. You know, be friendly. And what a contribution that is.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you all.